Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so grateful that you all have taken time out of your Sunday to show up and to dive into the course together. Let's begin by spending a few moments together in silence. So turning your attention within. If you'd like, closing your eyes. And bringing your awareness to a space in your heart, in your mind, that place where you feel willing, where you can connect with your own sense of willingness to see differently and to remember. Offering that willingness to spirit within. Knowing that the answer is already given. And by letting the Holy Spirit in, the outcome, our success is guaranteed. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all right. So, as I said before we started recording, I'm very excited. I feel like I'm always excited about the reading each week, but I read this section that we have up next, and it's just so good. It is really about looking past error, and this is how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit sees past our errors to the truth beyond. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, it is page 529. The section is Reason and the Holy Relationship. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's Chapter 22, Part 4, Reason and the Holy Relationship. That corresponds to the FIP edition, Chapter 22, Part 3. In the FIP, the subheading is Reason and the Forms of Error. And last but not least, in the CE, the Complete and Annotated Edition by the Circle of Atonement, it is page 693. At the very bottom of the page, it's part 4, Seeing Past the Form of Error. Yay! So we actually read this first paragraph last week, so I will reread that and then begin right away with paragraph number 2. Just a reminder, because it always helps me to remind myself that when we see the word reason, it is referring to thinking with the Holy Spirit, right-mindedness, the Holy Spirit's vision, really. So thinking with the Holy Spirit. So we can think about that right-mindedness as reason as we read this section. All righty, here we go. The introduction of reason into the ego's thought system is the beginning of its undoing. For reason and the ego are contradictory, nor is it possible for them to coexist in your awareness. And reason's goal is to make plain and therefore obvious. You can see reason. This is not a play on words, for here is the beginning of a vision that has meaning. Vision is sense, quite literally. If it is not the body's sight, it must be understood. For it is plain, and what is obvious is not ambiguous. It can be understood. And here, do reason and the ego separate to go their different ways? I'll comment on that paragraph in just a moment, but let's just flow right into the next paragraph. The ego's whole continuance depends on its belief you cannot learn this course. Share this belief, and reason will be unable to see your errors and make way for their correction. For reason sees through errors, telling you what you thought was real is not. Reason can see the difference between sin and mistakes because it wants correction. Therefore, it tells you what you thought was uncorrectable can be corrected, and thus it must have been an error. The ego's opposition to correction leads to its fixed belief in sin and disregard of errors. It looks on nothing that can be corrected. Thus does the ego damn and reason save. So just there, I want to just pick up something right there, that sort of sense that I get from reading this, that the ego is about keeping the blocks in place and not seeing past the error. The ego is about solidifying mistakes into sin, which will therefore be unforgivable, and therefore the ego will maintain its thought system. Whereas you get this, I get this sort of like permeable feeling from the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit just permeates, it just sees right through the form, right through what to the ego's eyes, to the body's eyes, looks like a brick wall, a solid wall. It even uses, I think, the term granite wall later on. The Holy Spirit does not see that block at all. It sees right through that to the truth beyond. So, okay, let's back up here for a second. And I'll just share a couple things. And then, as always, I'll pause and open it to see if anybody has anything that you'd like to add. So this first paragraph we commented on already last week, but I will just say again that I have the sentence underlined. If it is not the body's sight, it must be understood. So here it's clearly saying that our body's eyes deceive. That's what they were made to do. And if we're seeing from another source of vision, that must be understood. That is plain and obvious and understandable. However, the body's eyes were not made to see that truth. The body's eyes were made to stop at the concrete, to stop at the form, to keep us believing that it's real and just turn on the news or any, really, you know, any of those hook situations in our lives, and there immediately we'll find ourselves stuck at the form because it's so compelling. So just to comment then on the second paragraph here, the ego's whole continuance depends on its belief you cannot learn this course. How many times have we been on this call, and I think probably all of us at some point have reflected like, oh, you know, I'm just not getting it. It doesn't feel like it's sinking in. I'm not progressing. And the ego, that's the ego's belief that you can't learn it. And then it says, share this belief, implying that you don't have to share that ego belief. But if you do share that belief, the Holy Spirit then, you know, we're not letting the Holy Spirit flow through us. We're not letting the Holy Spirit see through our errors to make way for their correction. So it's up to us to not listen to the ego belief, to choose to say, all right, you know, I hear that loud shrieking voice saying, I'm not getting it, I'm not progressing. Thanks, ego, but no thanks. I am willing. And it's that willingness that we always come back to that makes way for the Holy Spirit to, for reason to be able to see past our errors. And it goes on to say in the very next sentence, for reason sees through errors, telling you what you thought was real is not. Reason wants correction. So in other words, that right-mindedness in us, the Holy Spirit in us, wants the truth. It wants that correction. Therefore, we learn of that loving voice in our mind that what we thought was unforgivable or uncorrectable can be corrected. So it was just an error. It was not a sin, but the ego would like us to think that it's a permanent mistake that cannot be overcome. Boom. Okay, I'm done. Thoughts, questions, comments, insights. What do you got? Hey,
it's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hey there. So we have to be very proactive or active in this process of asking Holy Spirit. Holy
yes.
Spirit, I see this granite wall. It can't be
yes.
real because I'm seeing it with my eyes. Holy Spirit, please help me see through this. Help me see what you see.
You are spot on.
Yeah.
Did you want to add more?
Well, I want to attribute that. I was listening to Jennifer's latest podcast, and she made that crystal clear. We have to continually ask, ask, because otherwise we think we have to do it on our own, and we don't have the tools to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Where our ego does can't do it, we have to ask Holy Spirit to see with us, to look at it with us, so we can see it clearly.
Yeah, that's so spot on. And if we are not consciously choosing to ask the Holy Spirit, if we're not consciously willing, we're reverting back into the ego. You know, if we're not consciously doing it with Spirit, who are we doing it with? We're doing it, you know, we're back in ego again. So this really is very active, just as you say, and it is moment to moment. And again, in might sneak that ego thought saying, oh, moment to moment, hey, come on, like, you know, this is exhausting or whatever. But there again, we don't have to share that belief in that voice. We can say, you know, I hear you. The Course says the ego always speaks loudest and first, but the Holy Spirit always answers. So it's up to us, just like you beautifully said, to actively ask and it being continual.
And
I love that.
I think my understanding has come once I started really asking. I don't ask all the time, but the more that I ask, the less hard it feels.
Yeah.
I'll be quiet. Thank you.
No, I love what you're saying. I completely relate to it. The more that we ask, there's an opening there. I can remember, I don't remember when it was, but there was I remember the moment where I was like, oh, I don't understand what this paragraph in the Course means. So rather than run to somebody, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. And that is when, like, you know, it really started feeling like it was starting to really sink in, because an explanation would just come to mind, or something would come to mind, or maybe something would show up in my day that was like, oh, this is funny. You know, I was just reading about this. So we can even ask when we don't understand something in the Course, we can even ask there as well. So that was beautiful, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
So
this
great.
Is the other Susan. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I heard Meg first and then Susan.
So Corinne, from our true nature, then sin actually does not exist.
Correct. Yep, that's what the whole Course is teaching us. Beautiful. Thank you, Meg. Susan.
Well, I was in church today, and I was incredibly crabby. And I was looking at this person and that person and feeling critical. And I realized when you were talking just now about all this, all of you that were talking, I realized I have put an awful lot of value on how I feel. And it occurs to me that those feelings, which seem like real things, they seem like a reality, I could just disregard them and say, these feelings totally stink. Mm. And I am not going to pay any attention to them. Go ahead and feel what you're feeling, but this is not the truth. And I was actually telling myself during this crab appling that I was doing, that they're not the truth, but somehow it just socked it in tonight hearing you all talk about this. Feelings aren't like, well, I could give another example. And early on in my marriage, my husband and I went through a really rough patch, and we thought, I don't know if we can stay married. And then somebody said to me, love doesn't have to be a feeling. You just are in a space of love. You choose love. You go through the motions of love. You act lovingly, and love will show up again. And it was just like that. It was like these little green shoots, like new blades of grass, started to appear. And the problems went away, and it's been almost 50 years. We're hanging in together, my husband and I. Mm-hmm. But what was that? Anyway, I don't need to go on and on about that, but it's just so great to think you don't have to pay attention to your crab apples.
That's awesome, Susan. I love that. And you're right. So, you know, again, to make it clear, we're not talking about denying what you feel. It is important to feel what you feel and to acknowledge it and to be, you know, present to it and to feel it. But you're right. It isn't a reflection of reality. They are feelings. Now, the Course does say elsewhere, I don't remember the exact quote, but it says, you know, the one test is how do you feel, you know, and let that be the one right use of judgment. Meaning, if you're feeling anything other than supremely joyous and perfectly peaceful, you're not, you know, experiencing the peace of God. And so most of the time we're walking around unaware of it and maybe dimly aware of it, you know, at best. And that's okay. That's part of, you know, where we're at right now collectively. But just to have prefaced what I just said with what I'm about to say, that you are correct in that, you know, putting that value on how we feel and letting those ego feelings, those crab apples, drive our car, you know, lead the way, isn't going to help us find salvation. It's that moment of saying, wait a second, this isn't the truth. You know, again, coming back to asking, coming back to that willingness, coming back to saying, Holy Spirit, show me, you know, show me the truth. I'm feeling like crap. I'm feeling like a crab apple. I'm judging everybody. I'm feeling really cranky. And I'm not going to judge myself for it, but again, help. You know, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Coming back to that. So that's awesome. Mm. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let's read another paragraph.
Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
As kind of a newbie.
Yeah.
Newbie questions. Okay. First question: when after we ask, do you normally expect a shift immediately, or?
That's a great question. Maybe. You know, in my experience, when, for instance, I just did a webinar with Lisa Natoli, and we talked about one of the things I shared was journaling and how I use my journal as a tool. If you were to read my journal, you would think I was the most miserable person in the world because I only write when I'm in those crab apples and I'm working through it. And in getting it out, I'm asking for the shift, you know, maybe toward the latter part, and the shift might come. It might be like, oh, you know, I'm feeling a shift right away. Other times, we have to just trust that that shift is going to come when we're ready. You know, we might not be ready right away to receive it, but the Course is teaching us that the answer is given the moment we ask. It's already there. If we're not aware of it, it's because we're not ready. And so that's where we do have to just step back and trust and allow ourselves to be where we are, not judge ourselves, not beat ourselves up, but trust that that shift will come the moment that we're ready. So,
okay. And then one other question. Do we include ourselves as targets of forgiveness?
Yes. Yes. Great question. For sure. Because it absolutely is about others, but we can also be extraordinarily hard and harsh on ourselves. So 100% yes, including ourselves. Definitely.
Great.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jim.
Corinne?
Yeah.
This is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I was just wanting to, because I think this fits and, you know, everything, well, almost everything fits into exactly what we're talking about right now, but I wanted to thank you for the comments that you have in your book on page 128, where, and I'm going to just read this a little bit, because I think it's pertinent here, because we were talking about one side of the coin being the crab apple.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of the coin is the pleasure and the positive things that show up that the ego wants us to listen to from the thought of separation. Yeah. And that is, you said, the ego will use anything to reinforce its specialness. To work toward mastery of love, practice giving everything to your inner therapist to be used on behalf of truth. I make it part of my regular practice to give everything in my life that I love to my inner therapist. I make a list of everything that is meaningful to me or that I believe provides safety. And one by one, I toss those things into my inner therapist's arms. I say, inner therapist, I give you my husband, my body, my health, my mind, my family, my house, my business, my money. And that's the other side of the crabapple coin.
Mm-hmm.
And when we give everything to the Holy Spirit, we're able to see past both the painful and the pleasurable illusions that are present in our lives.
Yes. Oh, Bob, thank you for bringing that up. That's such an important point. And I'm so grateful that you said that, because that's 100% spot on, that it's all got to go. You know, the ego will use, you know, this is crazy, and I'm not naming any names, but I just heard a very popular course teacher basically say to turn over what's bad and just celebrate what's good, and just, you know, like enjoy what happened. And I was like, but no, because the ego will use those good things to keep all this going. It's about, you know, it's about releasing it all to see past the form to the truth beyond. And only in that are we really, really going to start to have those experiences that show us that what we are is way greater than what we perceive and what we think of ourselves to be. So thank you for that, Bob.
Sure, sure.
Awesome.
I think it's very important, actually. I think that, you know, the thought system of separation is insidious in the sense that it lays out all of those pleasurable and positive things that we as spiritual seekers can construe to mean that we're hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's dangling that carrot out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks us into seeing the difference between pleasure and pain. And that's just another attention to difference rather than sameness.
Yes, yes. Bravo. Do not, the Course says, do not, what does it say? There's no area, do not underestimate the extent of its insanity, of the ego's insanity. That's what it is. I'm trying to think of how it starts. This is an insane world. Do not underestimate the extent of its insanity. There is no area of your perception it has not touched. That insanity has permeated everything that we see, and that's why it's all got to go into the Holy Spirit's hands.
And at the same time, it's there's nothing wrong with enjoying the positive things that
right.
we experience in the world. But because the ego speaks first, the first order of business is to forgive it.
Yeah.
And then, as we forgive it, we see it for what it is. It can be the potential thing that hides our guilt. Just as everything that we experience in the world is. And as we recognize it for what it is, it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the positive and pleasurable things.
Right, exactly. I agree. I totally agree. But now
it's almost a matter of order. Forgive and then enjoy.
Yes, 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 yes. Agreed. I agree. Mm-hmm. Deidre, did you want to say something?
Yeah, there's so many things permeating. that I just love what Bob just shared, and it particularly when he was talking about forgiveness first, because I love what you've shared, Corinne, before about forgiving, like breaking the word into forgiving, so everything is forgiving over to spirit or love. To be repurposed or looked at with spirit. So we're never doing anything by ourselves. We have that willingness to hand it over. And as you were reading tonight's paragraphs, I just felt really moved to read the paragraphs again, substituting the word reason for love. And it was just a really lovely, just looking at the paragraphs again with the word love in place of reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing I wanted to share is Nuke Sanchez recently posted on Facebook, I believe it was, and she was talking about error, like the idea of error, that it needs to be looked at from all levels. And so I feel like it's pertinent to the conversation that we are having tonight and what Suzanne shared earlier about whatever we're looking at, the Course has a line about illusions being investments. So just being mindful of where we are investing our belief system, our thoughts, right? Where are we investing in the crab apple, right? Or are we investing in being taught how to see with love? And that to me is what A Course in Miracles is basically a roadmap to learning how to see and understand what love is, because the identity crisis is actually that we are afraid of love.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
So we're learning what is love actually, because we've confused it. So I really loved Nuke's post about the willingness that we have to look at error from all levels, and that our purpose is to really repurpose error on all levels. And that means keeping nothing hidden.
Deidre, would you post, I love Nook's posts, would you, if you're able to easily find it, would you share it in the From Anxiety to Love Facebook group?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So if anybody wants to read it, they can check it there. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was awesome. So super helpful. Let's go ahead and read another paragraph. This is such good stuff. I'm so excited tonight with I'm always excited, but I'm excited again. Here we go. All right. Reason is not salvation in itself, but it makes way for peace and brings you to a state of mind in which salvation can be given you. Sin is a block set like a heavy gate, locked and without a key, across the road to peace. No one who looks on it without the help of reason would try to pass it. The body's eyes behold it as solid granite, so thick it would be madness to attempt to pass it. Yet reason sees through it easily because it is an error. The form it takes cannot conceal its emptiness from reason's eyes. I just want to highlight that sentence again. The form it takes cannot conceal its emptiness from reason's eyes. We lapse into, you know, the Course teaches there's no order of difficulties in miracles. One's not bigger or harder than the next. The form, I'm reading this again, the form it takes cannot conceal its emptiness from reason's eyes. So we think that some forms are more difficult to see truth, you know, in than others. We feel like some forms are harder to look past. Some forms are harder to heal. And this is clearly saying that, yes, according to the body's eyes, it's going to see those forms as granite and forget about it. You know, there's just no hope. And yet this is so clearly saying that reason or love or the Holy Spirit sees through it easily because it is an error. Wow. So this is refreshing to me to remember that the body's eyes see solid granite. The Holy Spirit sees light, and it's our task to turn to Holy Spirit so that light can, so we can use the Holy Spirit's vision, so we can learn to think with the Holy Spirit to experience that light instead of the solid granite. Oh, any comments before we read another paragraph?
Well, Corinne, one thing that comes to my mind is that the concept that sickness in the form of a cold is no different than sickness in the form of anxiety.
Yeah.
That both are equally seen past when seen for what they are.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. And yet, I mean, if you compare, you know, cancer and a paper cut to the body's eyes, those look very, very different. And this is, you know, saying something very opposite to what the body's eyes would report. This is saying that, you know, that reason sees right past all forms of error to the truth beyond, regardless of the form. So you're absolutely right. You know, it's funny because my book is about anxiety, but I've been hearing from more and more people that, you know, yes, it's applicable to anything because the course is applicable to anything. And, you know, sickness, that lesson in the course, sickness is a defense against the truth. Substitute any problem. Conflict is a defense against the truth. You know, scarcity is a defense against the truth. Depression, sickness, anxiety, whatever it is, it's all there to be there as that very compelling piece of granite that we will not look past because we won't question it, and the course is asking us to question it.
I love that.
And I think that the value of speaking to specifics brings us to that place where we can then see that there is no difference between anxiety, a cold, a paper cut.
Mm-hmm.
It brings us in from a place where we are, where each of us are.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety is something that we all share.
Mm-hmm.
And when we repurpose that to see that it is merely a parallel reflection of everything that we've made up in the world, then it gives us the opportunity to see them all as the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Bob. Deidre, did I hear you too?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love that granite analogy. It's really awesome because when you think of granite, like the form of granite, it's like something that seems like really solid and really like rock, like it's there, you know, and
mm-hmm.
the whole point is that it's not there. And if you put it in the context of like, you know, like medical test results or something, like test results come back and yes, you have, an infection or something. That's like, you know, proof that there's something solid there, but really there's nothing solid there at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just a belief.
Yep. Yep.
And it's just, and it's not that we need to feel guilty if that's where we are. If, you know, if our infection feels real, that's not that we feel that we add guilt on top of that. It's just
right.
that we're learning to look through the granite instead of believing that it's solid.
Exactly, exactly. And just to share a very specific example, you know, for anybody who is sort of chewing on what Deidre just said about, you know, sickness, I shared a couple weeks ago that I was sort of like totally shocked to learn that we have mold in our house and that it seemingly is the cause of a chronic sinus problem that I've been having. And so it feels damn real. Like it was shocking to me because I'm like, what? Like I'm practicing this all the time that nothing out there, you know, that it's all coming from the mind. And yet here's a very seemingly compelling situation that's saying, well, you actually are being, you know, affected by something outside of you. And what I ultimately came back to was just that this is another appearance. This is another appearance of a piece of granite, and it looks like it's a cause. It looks like there's a cause out there, but the fact that it looks like a cause is outside of myself, that is the granite. That is, you know, the opportunity to see it differently, to see past it. And so for anybody who's listening to this thinking like, well, you know, you're, it's easy for you to say, you know, you're healthy. I've been in the middle of this for a few weeks now with this whole mold thing. So it's been quite a wonderful learning opportunity, actually.
Yeah.
How about Meg first, since Didi, if you wouldn't mind, could you just share?
Yeah,
for
sure.
Okay, thanks. Meg.
Because the whole point is, the whole magical point, I don't like saying magical, is that we are actually not the bodies. We are not any of the things that's happening to the bodies. Not only are they not real, but if you look at them in the level that they are real, because you could look at them as that and not be able to see beyond that. But if you realize that you're not that anyway, and what you are is formless.
Right. Exactly. Beautiful. Thank you. And Deidre, did you want to add something?
Yeah, just really, really fast, Corinne, is that something that I've found for me super helpful is that if you're in that space where something seems to be showing up in form, I found it super helpful just to be like, all right, Holy Spirit, here it is, and I'm afraid of this right now. I have some beliefs around it. I'm making it real. And my radical honesty about being afraid of it is all I need to do, is like, all I need to say is like, yeah, this is happening and I'm feeling some fear. Here you go.
Right. Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. The thing that's been really helpful for me is I don't know. Coming, you know, rather than even going into the, you know, all the thoughts, well, what does the Course say and what can I, you know, repeat to myself to make this go away? Coming back to, I don't know. I just don't know. And in that space of just openness is where peace is.
And Corinne, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been helpful for me. So anyway, let's read another paragraph. Let's do it. Okay. Oh, by the way, I think, Bob, I think actually it's your line. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure why. I don't think you're moving or anything. I think it's just the line. So if you wouldn't mind muting your line, that would be...
You know, that might be me. I was going to ask a question, and I unmuted myself.
Okay, go for it.
But let me ask the question, and then I can mute myself again. So my question was going to be, when you were talking about your mold issue, what does the Course mean when it talks about level confusion?
So level confusion is when, I'm trying to think of an example. Does anybody, I'm asking for, anybody have any examples? We've talked about this before. Go for it.
So it was that first paragraph, because this is what I asked you about last week.
Mm-hmm.
That was, there was some level confusion there.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out, well, what is the ego thought system versus some of the words that the Course uses can be really cryptic.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring out what level they're coming from. I think that's what level confusion is, right? So as the Course in this particular case says, let's see, the reason's goal, I'm hoping this is a good example. The reason's goal is to make plain and therefore obvious. You can see reason. This is not a play on words, for here is the beginning of a vision, blah, blah, blah. And I was confused, like, okay, if we can see it, I don't really know how to see with Holy Spirit exactly. I only relate to seeing here in the world. Is that, that's something that I would think of would be an example of level confusion.
Of like trying to apply that different level of vision to like this level of form.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a good example. There, you know, there's definitely a number of ways of explaining this, and I know I have a really good blog post on my website about this, and I can't remember the example that I use, but one of the things that just comes to mind is, you know, okay, actually, let me I'm drawing a blank as to what I wanted to say with the blog post, but I did open in the back of the CE. Robert Perry does share that, and I'm just jumping down like halfway into the paragraph, reality, identity, and happiness belong only to the spiritual level, but we mistakenly see these attributes as being found in the physical level. So that's one other example, you know, that we think happiness comes from something in this world like a car or a job or a relationship, whereas it actually only comes from the spiritual level, the level of formlessness. And that's one example.
Corinne, one way that I hold on to the idea of level confusion is around the concept of inclusiveness, mm-hmm. and that is that and joining, and that is that bodies do not join, but minds are joined.
Mm.
So the levels at which people can confuse the idea of joining is something that happens between bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, the course is speaking about joining in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you confuse the course's instruction to join, one could say, you know, a lot of course students have said, well, okay, you know, we'll just join with others. And, you know, you include everyone and everything in your loving relationships. And, you know, it's impossible to join with all bodies,
yeah.
but it is possible to join as minds.
Yes, yes, beautiful. That's another great example. And I just, while you were speaking, I just looked on my blog. I do have a couple posts about this, but one is the post, what's the point of eating healthy or taking vitamins if the world is an illusion? And an example of level confusion is to say, I'm going to stop caring for my body because it's an illusion. Meaning, we still believe in the reality of the body, but we're applying a teaching to a state that we're not yet in. So
yeah.
intellectually, by saying, you know, oh, it's all an illusion, I'm just going to stop caring, I'm not going to do anything, yet we're still firmly in the ego belief system, that's an example of level confusion. We you know, things that we do for the body fall away as we step into an experience of a new reality. Like literally, it's like we become more of ourself. And so maybe things we used to do, we don't feel the need to do anymore. It falls away versus the intellectual, mm-hmm. you know, applying a teaching to where I am. Even, you know, even the very popular, like, and I love this teaching in the course. I have it throughout my book. I'm not a body. I had a friend going for surgery and she was like, Corinne, I keep saying I'm not a body, but it's not working. Help. And that's because, you know, that I am not a body is a truth, you know, that's a formalist level teaching, but we believe we are these bodies. And so we have to work with where we are versus trying to intellectually bridge that gap. So does that help with everybody shared?
There's a Sufi saying that says, trust God, but tie your camel first. And I think it's kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to be where we are. We have to be where we are. Cause if we try to be somewhere where we are not, we're going to stumble, you know, we're going to trip.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, this is Elisheva.
Hi, Elisheva.
Hi, thank you for what you just said. I needed to hear that because I am in the mix of processing an emotion, and part of me is trying to intellectualize it. I'm like, but wait, I am not a body, and I'm bigger than this, and like I'm thinking of all the things that I know, and yet there the emotion, the ego, there it is right there. And I feel this sense of I just can't help myself right now. I've given it over to Holy Spirit, and I still feel this sense of helplessness in the moment in terms of just feeling like I just can't get beyond it right now. And so what you said about realizing that we still relate and see ourselves as bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't know where.
I'm not sure. Alan, is that your line, Alan? If you wouldn't mind muting. Thank you so much. I'm going to mute you. Okay. I'm sorry, Alicia, but go on.
Thank you for that. It's like right there in my mind, I've just been like, Alicia, get over this. And I went through accepting my feelings, allowing myself to be where I'm at and all these things, and I still feel this, like I'm grasping, like I'm like, so when you just said that, I just felt myself just breathe like, oh, that's right, regardless of on an intellectual level or even on a soul level, regardless of the truth and the awareness of, oh, this is an illusion, I do still relate in the physical body terms, and that's what I'm experiencing. And so when you said that, I just had this sense of relief. I needed to hear that in this moment, because I'm kind of struggling, you know, emotionally over something, and I just, so thank you.
I'm glad it helped. And well, I shouldn't say this now because we're still technically on study group time, but thank you for your review on Amazon. I saw it and it was beautiful. And if anybody on the call has read the book and hasn't left an Amazon review yet, I'd be so appreciative. It really, really, really helps. So thank you, Alicia. And thank you for sharing. I'm glad, you know, there's no mistakes, right? We all hear and share what we need to. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
Can I say something just really quickly?
Sure, and then I do want to read one more paragraph before we conclude. So go ahead, Meg.
Okay, the I am not a body cannot be intellectual. It has to be experiential.
Yeah.
I mean, at first it is intellectual, but when it's intellectual, it's not really real. The reality is the experiential experience of it.
Yeah. Well said, well said. Thank you for that. That's nice and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and clear. Awesome. Okay, we're going to do one more paragraph. Only the form of error attracts the ego. I want to read that one more time. Only the form of error attracts the ego. Meaning it does not recognize and does not know if it is there or not. Everything which the body's eyes can see is a mistake, an error in perception, a distorted fragment of the whole, without the meaning that the whole would give. And yet mistakes, regardless of their form, can be corrected. Sin is but error in a special form the ego venerates. It would preserve all errors and make them sins. For here is its own stability, its heavy anchor in the shifting world it made, the rock on which its church is built, and where its worshipers are bound to bodies and believe the body's freedom is their own. So only the form of error. So if you think about that, that's huge. In that statement right there, only the form of error attracts the ego, meaning the form of error means nothing to the Holy Spirit. It means nothing to love. It means nothing to truth. The form does not matter to truth. The form is only attracted to the ego. It goes on to say so clearly, everything which the body's eyes can see is a mistake. Everything the body's eyes can see is a mistake, an error in perception, a distorted fragment of the whole, without the meaning that the whole would give. So there again is a reminder to not look through the body's eyes for truth. Turn to our willingness. Ask. Turn to our heart. Turn to that place within our bodies where we experience, you know, that for me, it's that resonant feeling in my core when I'm feeling connected, when I'm feeling that guidance. It's from that place where we start to know, where we start to see. And this is clearly saying that all of our mistakes, regardless of the form, can be corrected. In fact, they already have been. That's the big thing with the Course. They've already been corrected. We just have not accepted it yet because we are, as the Course teaches, mentally reviewing that which has already happened. So The ego would preserve all errors and make them sins. It would preserve all of our mistakes and make them into granite, because again, as it says, here is its own stability, its heavy anchor, the rock on which its church is built, and where worshipers are bound to bodies and believe that body's freedom is their own. So that's the ego's goal, is to have that compelling form so we will not be willing to look past it. Whew, I love this section. I love getting hardcore with this and just going into these, you know, these deep teachings, because this is just always, always, always what I need to hear. Yes. So anybody have any comments, any insights? And anybody who hasn't shared yet tonight who wants to share something? Or anybody who has shared and wants to share again?
Corinne, in lesson 68 in the workbook, there's a sentence that speaks directly to what we're talking about, and it's, I think, the third sentence in lesson 68. It says, to hold a grievance is to see yourself as a body.
Mm. Yeah.
So anything in the world essentially reflects that we see ourselves as bodies.
Yep. Yep. It sure does. It sure does.
And it's not that those are grievances as well. It's not necessarily that we hold something against another person. You know, we hold a grievance against someone who has done something to us just by being here and present in the world, by waking up and taking our first breath,
mm-hmm.
we assert that we are bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is why it requires, the Course says, that we forgive each and every moment, every instant of every moment, and give that to the Holy Spirit. The entire day is an opportunity to forgive.
Mm. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Which I love that you just added that, you know, it's not just the grievances aren't just other bodies or other people, but it's just the fact by being here. I mean, this is a temper tantrum. This world is a temper tantrum that God didn't give us a specialness we wanted to. So damn it. You know, there's part of us that's mad at God for not being able to make us special. That's why this whole thing happened in the first place. And so, yeah, even you know, forgiving God. Jesus says, I think somewhere in here too, that he asks our forgiveness. I can't remember where or in what context that is, but I know it's in there somewhere. So yeah, it's all every moment. It's
flowing
like to the Holy Spirit.
Tag on to that, if I may.
Sure, please.
My favorite lessons that I'm working with right now are 77 and 78. And they are, I am entitled to miracles, so I am entitled to the undoing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then lesson 78 is, let miracles replace all grievances.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm going through some challenging things that I believe are true, right, I just remind myself throughout the day, I am entitled to miracles. I let a miracle replace this. Holy Spirit, please show me how.
Oh, beautiful. Miracles are our birthright. They are our birthright. Thank you for that, Suzanne. Go ahead, Meg.
So let go. So surrender.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen to that. Oh, and that puts us at the top of the hour. Thank you, everybody, for your awesome, awesome input and shares and reflections. And it just so makes these calls so, so rich. So I bow to each one of you and am so filled with gratitude. Thank you all for being here.
Corinne?
Yeah.
I just had a really quick question about your book after the call, if you had like 30 seconds.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'll stop
Thank
recording.
You.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
You.